Hey, good morning. So glad that you're here, and thank you for braving the cold weather and the nice wintry conditions and being here, and so grateful that you've joined us here, and for everyone who has joined us online, thank you for joining us and being a part. We're grateful to worship together this morning. If you're a guest online or however you may be with us, there's a card in the pew back in front of you. You can fill that out. If you're online, you can go to our website, sbcr.org. There's a button that says, I'm new. You click that button, fill that information out, and it's a way for us to better know who you are and to serve you and your family. Again, we're so grateful that you've chosen to worship with us this morning. Want to make a few quick announcements, and then we're going to jump right in and enjoy a time of worship together. No evening activities tonight. There'll be no evening activities. Please join us Wednesday night. Our plan is to have all of our Wednesday night services this Wednesday, so I hope you'll make plans to be here with us. 2 weeks from today is our missions fair. We have been working hard to put this together. Let me just share with you briefly what that is about. It's a way for us to highlight different missions opportunities, either here locally or abroad, if you will. And so the plan is for us to have a meal. We hope to have a sign-up sheet out next week. And just want to do something simple like soups and chilies and maybe some small sandwiches or something. And we hope that you'll make plans to stay around. Enjoy that. We're going to have some booths set up. All of it will be on the other end of the fellowship hall. We will have some of our different ministry partners here. They'll have those set up, and it's just a way for you to be very informed over different missions opportunities, how you can serve here locally, get plugged into different ministries and be on mission, if you will, here, and also other missions opportunities as we go in-state, out-of-state, and around the world. So hope that you'll make plans. That is 2 weeks from today, and that'll be our missions fair here, and looking forward to that. Evangelist Brother Ronnie Tullis will be here. He will preach for us that morning. We'll hear testimonies from different ministry partners that morning and that day as well. So I hope that you'll make plans to be here for that. And then as far as I know, the March for Life is still today. I was looking for Brother Steve, but he's not in here. March for Life is today, although it is cold, but they're still doing it, okay? All right, and Sanctity of Human Life is the 22nd, which is next Saturday. Some are recognizing today as Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. We're going to make that point of emphasis next Sunday, Lord willing, and so just want to just make you aware of that. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we are going to sing and worship together. Lord, you are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for today. We thank you for how you love and care for us. And God, I thank you for the opportunity that we have today together to worship you, to focus on you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that everything that we do would glorify you, would make much of you. And God, God, help us to give our full attention and focus on you this morning. And Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for waking us up and giving us a sound mind. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather in person. God, thank you for the opportunity for those online to be able to gather with us digitally. And Lord, we just love you and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand as we sing Worthy of Worship.
Worthy When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to breathe something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart.
You're looking into my soul. Bless the Lord, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. That is why we sing, to bless the one and only true God, creator of all things. Continue to lift up your voice to Him this morning and bless His holy name.
And on that day when my strength is failing, and draws me, and my time has come,
check. Hey, it's amazing. If I'll turn this thing on, what'll happen? So with that, if you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We will be looking at beginning at verse 13 in just a few moments and spend some time together walking through this passage. This week has been a full week getting back into the office, and grateful for Pastor Jonathan stepping in and serving like he always does, and grateful for him and all of our staff who stands in the gap and just a blessing to one another as opportunity arises. And so had a great week away. Appreciate you praying for me, and just it's an enjoyable time to be away and have fun, all those sorts of things. Getting back to the office was a good week, but difficult in some ways. Early in the week, I got a call from South Arkansas. I previously pastored there, most of you know that, but and a elderly man who I had the privilege of seeing come to faith in Christ through a revival meeting we had there, and then got the privilege to baptize him, his daughter, and his grandson. But I got the call from his daughter that he was in the hospital and not expected to make it, and they wanted to know if I could come. And so I went and just had a difficult but a special time. They taken him off the vent. It was heart issues. But anyway, they took him off the vent that he was on and just didn't give him long to live. But the family had some sweet time there. That he was alert and awake. But one thing that I was just reminded about this week was when Manuel woke up from the sedation and those things, he didn't ask about his health. He didn't ask about what was going to happen, any of that kind of thing. He just spent time. He was him with his family. And there was a deep sense of peace with him. And one of the things I found fascinating, and I'm going to preach this message this morning, the eyes of faith. When he came off sedation and they didn't give him long, Manuel, I believe it was Thursday afternoon, went home to be with the Lord. This was on Tuesday night. Tuesday night, woke up from sedation, all of that. His eyesight wasn't great. He couldn't see very far, etc. I just think about the struggles that we have with our physical sight at times, and knowing folks that have significant struggles with their sight and how it impacts them, and all these nerves and anxiety, I can't see, all these sorts of things. And Manuel didn't have any of that. And I really believe it was because of what he saw and knew spiritually. And this morning I want to preach to you about the eyes of faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, this is the roll call of faith. This is the, if you were going to go somewhere and find the hall of fame for those of the faith, if you're looking for it, this is it. This is the chapter you go to and you read about all these great saints of God. And I know it's been a while because we're walking through Hebrews and we hit pause and Christmas time came and New Year and all these sorts of things. And so it's been a little while, but Hebrews chapter 11 is all about faith, by faith, and just all these great saints and what God did through these individuals and how God used them. And it was the basis of their faith. And then you'll remember, because this idea is greater faith. That's kind of the series. I don't know if we can call it a series because we took a month and a half break or whatever the case is, but that's sort of the series that this is a part of, is greater faith. And you remember, that's the idea of greater, better. Jesus is better. That's the whole driving theme and purpose of the book of Hebrews. Jesus is greater than the angels. Jesus is greater than creation. Jesus is greater than the Old Testament. Jesus is greater than the sacrificial system, and on and on and on. He is the great sacrifice. He is the great high priest. And Jesus is greater. And then we get to Hebrews 11, and all these heroes of the faith, and because of their faith in Jesus, God uses them in an incredible way. And we're going to see that this morning. So Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 13. If you found your place and you're willing and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? These all died in faith. Who? The ones that he had previously talked about. Although they had not received the things that were promised, but they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on earth. Now those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they were thinking about where they came from, they would have had an opportunity to return. But they now desire a better place, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you, and we thank you for your word. And God, I thank you this morning. I pray you would teach us about the eyes of faith. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Fill me with your spirit. Anoint me for this task this morning. And I pray, God, you would speak to every person here, every person watching online, and that, God, you would give us the eyes of faith. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So I want to preach to you about this eyes of faith, this Jesus is greater, the greater faith. The main idea is this, is that faith gives us eyes to look beyond the here and now. Faith gives us the eyes to look beyond the here and now. Not physically, but spiritually. This is what faith does. Faith gives us the eyes, gives us the opportunity, the ability to believe in God and trust in God for things that we can't see, things that we can't grab a hold of, things that we can't fully yet understand. And so the question is this morning, where are your eyes? So often in sports, a lot of teaching, a lot of fundamentals revolve around an athlete's eyes. Coach Downey in his program teaches a certain way to finish the basketball, to shoot layups and to finish scoring a goal close to the rim. And he teaches our guys that you get to 2 feet and you get to 2 feet, get a good solid base and go up and score the basketball. But as a part of that, he talks to them about where your eyes. A lot of athletes miss close point blank layups because their eyes are looking somewhere else. It's anticipating a foul. It's looking where they're going to land, all those sorts of things. But he teaches them that you'll finish and you'll score more buckets as you get to 2 feet, gather up, and your eyes are in the rim because your eyes are focused on the goal, what you're trying to achieve. Baseball, football, all this, all these sports, it's important about your eyes. And listen to me, church, this morning, the same is true about our everyday lives. Where our eyes are, where our eyes are focused, matters. And we're going to walk through this. And I want you to see some of these Old Testament saints and listen to the language of where this author says about these saints, these heroes of the faith, and where their eyes were. So where are your eyes this morning? And it's hard, right? It's tough. We're in a difficult season. We're in a difficult stretch right now. Numbers are rising. Inflation's at an all-time high, seemingly. This political party is doing this, and this one's this, and this media is doing this, and it's just on and on and on and on. And it is really easy to get our eyes focused on the here and now and what's right in front of us. And so there are three truths that I want us to look at from the text this morning. And number one is this, if you're taking notes, the eyes of faith allow us to see the promise. The eyes of faith allow us to see the promise or the promises. Listen to what verse 13 says. Look here. Look in your Bible if you have it. Listen, it says, these all died in faith. Again, what are these all died in faith? If you look back, by faith Abraham, by faith Noah, by faith Sarah, by faith Enoch. But these are the who's who of faith. These are the who's who of the ancestral record that the Jews would have held in extremely high regard. So these are the top dogs, if you will, pardon the expression, but that's the idea here. And he looks back, he lists these, and then said, the author says, these all died in faith. And then listen to the rest of this. Although they had not received the things that were promised, but they saw them from a distance. And so what is it? Each one of these, if you walk through them, they had some sort of promise from God, some sort of promise of inheritance or to be made a great nation or God's promise of protection, all these sorts of things that they believed. They heard the promise and then they believed God because that's what faith does. See, faith does not wait to operate after it's received the promise. That's not faith. That's not faith at all. He's saying, listen, I'm going to give you $100. You say, okay, great. Then you don't believe it until it's actually given. Well, you didn't have faith. That's not faith. I probably wouldn't believe that either if I told you. But so I understand. But here's the deal. Obviously, clearly, I'm not God. But these Old Testament saints had some promises from God, and they believed those. But as much as that applies, I believe there's even a greater principle that's here, is that beginning in Genesis 3:15, God promised that there was a Messiah coming. And I believe that's what the author is pointing to here. Although they had not yet received, look at this, the promise. The things that they were promised. But they saw them from a distance and greeted them and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. Hebrews 11:39 says, all these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised. Again, it's the re-emphasis of this. And here's the reality, is that God has all sorts of promises throughout the Bible. All sorts of promises that were for Old Testament saints, all sorts of promises in the New Testament, all sorts of promises throughout the Bible that you and I have been given. And if we're talking about our eyes this morning, the eyes of our faith focused on what God has promised. Why? Listen, Hebrews 10:23, I know we walked through this, it's been a couple months now. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? Listen to this. Since he who promised is faithful. Let me tell you what faith does. Faith does not weigh the gravity or the magnitude of the promise. Listen to me. Faith weighs the gravity and the magnitude of the one making the promise. At the end of the day, you and I judge whether we can trust, whether we can believe someone based on them, based on their character, based on their pattern of behavior. And I'm just showed up to tell you this morning that you and I do the exact same thing with God. And in case you've been wondering, God is absolutely perfect. He's batting 1,000. He does not fail in any of His promises. He never has and He never will. And that's what the author of Hebrews argues here. He's saying, look, we have a hope and it's not wavering. It's not a hope like something else in the world that this could happen, that this might happen. Whether it's a hope that does not waver. It doesn't shift. It doesn't shake. It's never in question. There's never any doubt about it. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. So where do we get this from? If you were to look at Romans 10:17, I think we have the CSB on the screen, but I want you to hear this in the New King James. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and what? Hearing by the Word of God. And so how is it the eyes of faith allow us to see the promise? What happens then? You and I, we got to dig into the Word of God. You may be saying this morning, listen, Pastor, my faith is struggling. I'm struggling in my faith. I'm struggling with doubt. I'm struggling with all these sorts of things. And friend, I would just tell you, where do you begin? You begin by reading and hearing and studying the Word of God, sitting under the teaching of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. And what happens is when you hear more of God, hear more about God, hear more of His Word, hear more of His promises, what happens is that you begin to fill up that tank of faith where you really believe and you really trust God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Church, this is why I have one of the convictions that I do about preaching and teaching the Word of God. I hear a lot from different pastors and leaders and churches and all. Everybody is trying to figure out how do you reach people, all these sorts of things. Heard recently about a church kind of having movie day in place of kind of their worship service. I don't know all the details or whatever. But just as I was getting ready and preparing for this, even today, it grieved my heart. Because listen, I love a movie as much as the next person. But dear friend, what brings about change, what brings about faith in an individual is not Disney, is not Pixar, It's not any of those, but it's the Word of God. And friend, you and I need more of the Word of God every day, not less. And so that these saints, the eyes of faith allowed them to see the promise. They spent time with God. They knew His Word. They knew His promises. They had heard His faithfulness, and they trusted Him. And if you and I are going to trust God, man, there's promise after promise in the Bible for us as believers. But one of the problems is we don't know that. We don't know those things. We don't know that God promises His believers, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We don't know the promises that He'll walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death and I will fear no evil. We don't know the promises that He'll lead us beside still waters. Man, look, I have a privilege as a pastor because I get to sit at the front seat of the bus oftentimes and see God work in ways that are absolutely incredible. This week, it's difficult as a pastor to go and see a man that I love, invested in, poured in, and all that kind of thing, and see him at such a difficult stage physically. But then to pray with the family, pray for God's blessing, pray for God's peace, God's healing either here on earth or ultimately, and then get the call that He's gone on to heaven, and then I show up at the visitation, and I walk up, and one of the young men, one of the grandsons, they were twins. I baptized his brother, but he walks out and walks right up to me and says, Brother Chris, I can't explain it. I've got a peace right now that I've got no idea where it's from. I mean, he knew where it's from, but it was such a peace. It was hard to, you know why? Because listen to me, lean in really closely. The Bible says this. Give you a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And listen, the Bible says this, a peace that surpasses all understanding. That's believing and knowing the promises of God. That in probably the most difficult day of this young man's life, the most difficult of seasons, he said, I've got a peace that I can't explain. Why? Because Hebrews 10:28 says, He who promised is faithful. And so their eyes allowed them to see the promises, to see and believe and trust. And they died in faith. And let me hit pause here and just tell you, listen, people struggle with this because we talk about that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Jesus said, John 14:6, I'm the way, the life, and the truth. No one comes to the Father except by me. And we look at this and talk about these Old Testament saints, and they died in the faith, yet Jesus had not shown up yet on earth, right? But here's what I need you to grab a hold of this, okay? Here's where the crux is. The Old Testament saints were saved the same way that you and I are saved. Through faith in Jesus alone. Well, how's that possible? Because we won't get them to the next. Here it is, okay? So, 2,000 years ago, Jesus came, okay? So, right here in the center, this is the point in time in which Jesus came for the sake of our illustration, okay? You and I here, 2022, or anybody who repents and believe, what happens? We look back to the cross. We look back to the day of Jesus. We look back believing that Jesus came. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He died on the cross, raised from the grave to offer salvation. We believe looking back. So then how is it Old Testament saints? Here's the point in time which Jesus came. Now you back up. How are they saved? How were they saved? They were saved looking forward to the cross. How's that possible? Because Genesis 3:15, we have the first promise of the Messiah coming. And then there is a red thread, a crimson trace from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament promising a Messiah. promising that the Messiah would come. You don't believe me? Go read Isaiah 53 and tell me there's not a promise of a suffering servant, and there's a promise of a suffering Messiah that's coming. How is it that they died in the faith? This is what the Bible says. Listen to, again, what it says. Remember, I told you, here's Jesus. We're here. We're looking back. We don't have any more proof. We just trust the Word of God. So we look back. We trust the Word of God. That's what the Word of God says. We believe looking back to Jesus. The Old Testament saints were here looking forward. Listen to what the Bible says. These all died in the faith, not having yet received the promises. Hadn't received it yet. They died believing it, knowing that it was true, knowing it was Jesus alone. But look at this. But they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. The eyes of faith allow us to see the promise. They hadn't yet seen Jesus, not in the way that He comes in the New Testament. But they had seen and heard the promise of a Messiah coming from a faithful God, and they believed and they trusted in that Messiah. And it says these all died in faith, knowing and believing. How do we know that? Because remember, John 8, Jesus said, Abraham longed to see my day. These all died in the faith. Number two. The eyes of faith allow us to see ahead. Not only do we see the promise, but we can see ahead. Look at verses 14 and 15. Now those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. Mark or underline homeland. If they were thinking about where they came from, they would have had an opportunity to return. So what are we dealing with here? Well, what he's doing is he's helping us understand how he finished verse 13. Listen to the end of verse 13 again. But they saw them from a distance and greeted them and confessed that they were what? Foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. Verse 14, this explanation. Now those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. You know the idea here? He's not talking about a 4-bedroom, 2-bath, 2,000 square feet, 2-acre plot. That's not what he's talking about. You can go, well, I don't want a house that big. No, he's not talking about a home. He's not talking about, like, where am I going to put my mailbox? That's not the idea of this word homeland. You know, this idea of homeland is, it has the idea of ancestral. Where do I come from? Fatherland is the idea that the Greek scholars use here. Those who say such thing make it clear that they are seeking not just a place to go lay their head down, but they are seeking H-O-M-E, home. Why? Because verse 13, they are considering themselves foreigners and temporary residents. So what's he driving at here? Is that the idea is that they were not looking back. Because look at verse 15. If they were thinking about where they came from, they would have had an opportunity to return. So what is it? The Old Testament saints, they have promises. They see promises. They believe and trust that. Did that mean, as you look at this, those who all died in the faith, there's no caveat to this, that just because they had great faith and saw things ahead, there weren't going to be hard days. Matter of fact, if you go read about their life, they went through some real stuff. Real hardship, real pain, real difficult days. And what happened? Did they keep looking back? No, there was a group of them that did. Right? Do you remember the Israelites being delivered out of the land of Egypt? And there was only a handful that were looking ahead. There were some that kept looking back going, man, listen, maybe slavery wasn't so bad. Making bricks wasn't that bad of a gig. Better than being out here in the wilderness. But there was a small group among them, right? When God had given them a promise, they believed that promise, and they showed up, and they went in the land, said, listen, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God has promised us that, then that's where we'll go. And they fixed their eyes, not just on the promise, but they fixed their eyes ahead, and they quit looking back to Egypt, because it was bondage there. It was slavery there. They were never going to be free. They were never going to be able to worship God the way that they desired. There was bondage and slavery and just junk back there. But a bunch of people got so entangled with that, they thought, man, that's comfortable. That's safe. I know what I'm getting there. Out here in the wilderness, I'm not getting to eat ribeye. I'm not getting to eat all that I want, or I'm not getting to enjoy this or enjoy that. But they had forgotten that they were slaves. And listen, we have too many folks that maybe are trying to read the Word of God, think about the Word of God, and God is wanting to do some things in their life and is beginning to work in their life, but here they are, they take a step or two toward the things of God and go, man, this isn't as easy as I thought it was, and they keep looking back to the old junk that they were in. They forget how depressed they were. They forget how lonely they were. They forget how isolated they were. They forget how much they were in bondage to their sin. In the eyes of faith, look ahead. Go back to what's comfortable. And listen to me, believer, then. Some of you have been walking with the Lord Jesus for a long time. You can do the exact same thing in your spiritual life. You say, man, I'm not looking back to go back before I knew Jesus, but man, God's been working, and now He's really stretching me. And you know what? Maybe I'll just take a step or two back, and I'll stay right here in my comfort zone. I'll keep looking back to yesteryear. Go, man, a couple years ago, I was a lot more comfortable. 5 years ago, I was a lot more comfortable. I knew what I had then. And we look back and we focus on what was behind us. We don't do things like we used to do and blah, 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 all that stuff. And dear friend, I'm just telling you that God's got some things ahead. And I really believe our greatest days are ahead. But some of us are going to miss out because all we can do is look back to Egypt. Look back to what we knew. Jesus said this in Luke 9:62. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, listen to this, is fit for the kingdom of God. I wonder, are you guilty of that this morning? Are you guilty of having put your hand to the plow and looking back? Obviously, I spent some time on the road this week, and one thing that was very obvious for me, thank goodness in our car, that the manufacturers made the front windshield a whole lot bigger than the rearview mirror. Because they want me, and you do too. You want me looking out the front window a lot more than I do out the rearview mirror. I mean, I'm good, but I ain't that good, right? Little bitty rearview mirror. Great big old front window. And too many of us are walking through life doing this. Proverbs 4:25 says, let your eyes look forward and fix your gaze straight ahead. Number three, the eyes of faith allow us to see our home. The eyes of faith allow us to see our home. But look at verse 16. But they now desire a better place. A heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Look at this. For He has prepared a city for them. Amen. Folks, this is not our home. We are pilgrims passing through. unfortunately, for whatever reasons, we have somehow at times forget that and we drive our tent stakes down deep. And we got stuff for our stuff. And we got storage buildings for our storage buildings. And we've got all these things and all these passions. And we're so short-sighted for the here and now, the 60 or 70 or 80 or maybe 90, if you're fortunate, 100 years. Here. And then all eternity for there. You think about this. That when you live a lifetime in eternity, you will have not taken 1 second off of eternity. When you live 100 lifetimes in eternity, you will have not taken 1 second off. And when you live 1 million lifetimes over and over and over, you will have not taken 1 second off. And friends, what I'm here to challenge you this morning, this is not our home. God has prepared a place for you. Hebrews 11:10 said it this way, "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." 1 Peter 2:11, Peter reminds him, says, "Dear friends, I urge you as strangers and exiles to abstain from sinful desires that wage war against the soul." Hebrews 13, "For we do not have an enduring city here. Instead, we seek one to come." This earth is passing away. And all of the junk with it. One of the things that I shared with the family, showed up visitation, and Manuel's wife Sandra was there, and Kim and Stephanie, and walked up to the casket, and they had the casket open, and they had done a really good job with him. And of course, the girls are there, and they're emotional and crying, and absolutely. And so we walked up and looked, and I told the girls, told Miss Sandra, I said, "You know this as well as I do. That's not Manuel. That's his earth suit." And see, here's the thing about Manuel. Manuel had more physical illnesses and cancer and colon and heart and hearing, more things going on than anybody I've known in the last 10 years. COPD, all these things. And I said, at 4:33 Thursday afternoon, Manuel took his last struggling breath this side of heaven. And in the same moment, because the Bible says this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In that moment, Manuel took a breath that was more clear, more fresh, more refreshing than anything he's ever experienced in his life. He saw colors that he never dreamed of. He saw creatures that are the most beautiful thing that could ever be imagined. And he stepped into the city that God had prepared for him. And dear friends, the eyes of faith believe God's promises,
The eyes of faith are laser focused ahead. And the eyes of faith know that we have a home beyond this. And we'll enjoy this life. I'm not telling you don't. Enjoy this life. Enjoy your kids and your grandkids. Enjoy your family. Enjoy the opportunities God gives you. Enjoy the work that He gives you. I really do believe God wants us to enjoy this life. With the caveat, this is not our home. For those who have trusted in Christ. Now the question remains this morning of where are your eyes? Some of you need to begin with, you've never looked back and been saved looking unto Jesus. It begins there. Some of you this morning say, Pastor Chris, I've never repented of my sins and placed my faith and trust in Christ. Some of you say, I don't know that I knew. And I challenge you. There's no sense in gambling with eternity. There's no sense in gambling with eternity. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So I beg you, I plead with you, if you're not sure about your salvation, maybe you're sure that you don't know Christ, give your heart and life to Jesus today. Here's where the eyes of faith come in. The Bible says that He lived, He came, and He took on flesh, and He lived a sinless, perfect life. The Bible says He went and died on a rugged cross in your place and in my place. The Bible says that He was buried, He was doornailed dead, but on the third day He was raised from the grave. The Bible says He ascended to the right hand of God. The Bible says He is there making intercession for you. And the Bible says this, that if you will believe that, and repent of your sins, it says, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, in a simple prayer of repentance and faith, you can be saved. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. And God, I thank you that your word is true and steadfast, that your word is sure. And God, I pray this morning for any here that are not sure of their salvation, any here that God know that they are lost, they need to repent and be saved. God, I pray in this moment you would give them grace to call out on you right now for salvation. And if that's you this morning, I'm going to lead you in what we call a sinner's prayer. But understand this, words of a prayer have never saved anybody, but it's the attitude of your heart. The Bible says if you'll call out on Him and believe in Him for salvation, that He'll save you. So you may pray something like this. Say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart, wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. You remain in the attitude of prayer, and I'm going to pray again in just a moment for our time of invitation. Our time of response is for believers. If you know Christ and, man, God dealt with your heart, and you need to come and spend time on the altar praying about your faith or faith of someone else, whatever it is, and then when I get done praying, when I say amen, you come. This invitation is also for those that maybe you just prayed and asked Jesus to save you. Maybe you repeated that prayer. You prayed it and you meant it with all your heart. My challenge to you is when I say amen in just a moment, you get up from your seat and you come and you meet me right down here in front. I'm going to be standing here and you come and say, Pastor Chris, I pray and ask God to save me today. And I want to pray with you. I want to rejoice with you. I want to encourage you. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to join the church. Whatever it is, however God's dealing with your heart, you come. Jesus, I pray that God, in this moment, we would respond in obedience to you. God, I pray as believers that God, you would give us grace to focus our eyes on you. God, I pray for those that maybe just prayed and were saved. God, I pray you give them boldness to come forward this morning and boldly proclaim that they accepted you today. God, give them strength. Bind the enemy away. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You remain in the attitude of prayer. If God dealt with your heart, you come on. All right, well, thank you so much for being here, and just thank God for you. And no evening services tonight, Wednesday activities this Wednesday. Hope that you'll make plans to be with us. I am going to ask our men, if you begin to make your way, to help us take up the offering. And let me just challenge you with this, just to be faithful in your giving. I believe The Bible teaches that God blesses those who are faithful to give. And so I just want to challenge and encourage you to be faithful in your giving and your tithing and give unto the Lord. And He blesses a cheerful giver. And so let me pray for us again. Thanks for being here, and we will be dismissed. Hope you have a great week. Lord, you are gracious and kind. Thank you for today. I pray that you would bless this offering as we give unto you, Lord Jesus, as we leave. I pray, God, that you would help us to have eyes of faith this week, that you be honored in all that we say and do. And Lord, we love you and we praise you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.